So I'm going to introduce myself. My name is Peter Vinaigrette. I teach at the Manhattan School of Music, and I teach one of the things I do the most is teach a practicum course called Bach for Pianists, which consists of 3 hours a week. 1.5 hours is a repertoire survey, and the other 1.5 is students playing and discussing what's going on in the music and so forth. And so what you're going to see today is sort of an extension of that class, although instead of the students playing, it'll be me. So what I'm doing today is I'm going to talk about the French suites and the partitas, but I'm going to play a one of each, but I'm going to be talking about a little bit introduction. And I don't know if we're really going to have an intermission. We'll probably just sort of keep going, depending on, unless people are getting restless. So I just want to talk a little bit about the French suites first. Now, the French suites are, first of all, not really French in any way, or almost not anyway. Like the English suites, which are not really English. The English suites supposedly were named after an Englishman of rank, but no one seems to really know who that Englishman was. And the French suites probably just were named that to differentiate them from the English suites. But they have very little of the French style in them, really just the first suite has a jig that's sort of like a French overture style, and the second suite has a sort of a French style jig, but the rest of it is not really what you would call French style. I mean, Bach did write a piece called The French Overture, which actually illustrates everything about French style, and he called it a French overture, and it has short movements of suites and a French overture and a dotted jig and everything. So that's just one thing about it. And it's sort of divided into two parts. The first three are in minor keys, and they're a little bit smaller scale. And the last three are a little more complex in major keys. He was criticized by musicians for English suites as having written something too severe and too contrapuntal, hard to listen to, which I think is ridiculous, but that was a criticism. So this was an attempt to make something a little more lyrical and, you know, audience friendly. And so there is quite a bit more galant style, meaning more melodic style, but it's still very highly contrapuntal because that's just the way he writes. And I have here all the allemands, courants, and jigs are in different styles, meaning he was trying to illustrate different styles of the different movements rather than trying to fit them into one thing. And you can see that very clearly, especially in the jigs. Like I said, the very first jig is basically a French overture, meaning very, very overdotted rhythm and very jarring. That's the jig in the D minor. Then you have, in the C minor, you have sort of a little French style jig with dotted rhythm. Yeah. The third one is sort of you could almost say, I'm not really sure what it is. It sounds a lot like the B minor symphonia. So it's sort of uncategorizable for a jig. The suite that I'm going to play, the fourth suite, is basically a horn call, right? And the fifth French suite is really a true fugue. I mean, of all of them, it's a real fugue just written out. And the last one, it starts out like a fugue, and then it just turns into like a very virtuosic sort of two-part imitation. So he was just trying to differentiate between things, as opposed to the English suite when everything was sort of in the same kind of style. So on to the French suite number 4. Now, the reason this happens to be my favorite suite for a number of reasons, and I guess it was in about 2000, I used to play it when I was younger. In the year 2000, I heard a recording of Richter that someone had lent to me, and I heard this funny thing at the beginning. Richter just played some chords, and then he went into this Allegro section, and then he played the Allemande. So I did some research on this, and it turns out that there are actually two suites written around this time. One of them is 815, and one is 815A, and they're almost the same. The French suite that you know that begins with the Allemande is there, and 815A has this preludium, which I printed out for you, and also has an extra gavotte, which is quite striking, and has no jig. And the sixth movement of this suite, the air, is very virtuosic, and he uses it to end that particular suite. So Richter, what he does is takes the French suite and he adds the preludium and the gavotte, which I think it turns it into a much more formidable sort of piece to put at the beginning of a program. And I know Angela Hewitt has recorded this in her recording of the suites too, so it's not unheard of to play it. And I think it's a very, very interesting work. Now, one of the things we do in my class is I will hand out a totally blank saraband, like by Buxtehude or somebody, that has almost nothing, and I ask students to attempt to imitate Bach and fill it in with some kind of embellishment. Not ornamentation, but embellishment, like he writes. And there are countless examples of this in Bach's music, including in the second, third, and sixth English suites. So you're not trying to compose, you're trying to use figuration to fill in space, you know, instead of if it's going from here to here, you just fill it in. So at the beginning of this, this preludium is just a set of chords, but it does say arpeggio. What happened with Richter actually is interesting, because that was a very early recording, and then, as some of you may know, towards the end of his life, he was playing these concerts with the music, with all the lights off in the dark, and he recorded this again, and he did an embellishment of it, which is actually very interesting, because he was very strict, and he never deviated from the score at all, so he must have loosened up toward the end of his life. So, what I try to do here is take some of the figuration from the fast part. So this chord, for example, and you have in the sort of fugato that follows, so you have that motive, you also have this. So what I'm going to try to do is incorporate those into the figuration of the chords, so that there's sort of a connection between the preludium and the next movement, whatever you might call it. So, and I want to also talk about the Allemande, which follows, which is usually the beginning of the suite. Steel brisé just means broken chords, right? But this particular Allemande is very unusual. It has really a four-voice texture, and there are many, many ways to interpret this. So I will do the repeat in that, and I will try to bring out like a different line the second time through. But, you know, we really have, this is three voices. When you get to here, you really have, and you also have, you have a voice also on the top. So there really are four voices going on, and there are many opportunities for bringing out different things. It's wonderful. You have a wonderful chance to do that. And the courant. Now this courant is not really especially noteworthy, except toward the end, he does something a little bit unusual. Now, in the English suites and some of the partitas too, he has in a courant, you have a 3-2 rhythm. And then at the end, you have a hemiola, which means you divide the three and make it into two. So he doesn't do that here, but he does something a little bit like that. So the whole piece is in triplets. And then at the end, for the last two measures, he divides it really into a group of three times two. So you have when it goes along, you're going da 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 da, and then you go da da da. It is a form of a hemiola. It's a little bit. It's just something new that he hasn't done before. I find that very interesting. So I'm going to now play the first three. I think I'm going to play this in three parts. So I'll do it this way. And then if you have any questions about anything I've done so far.